in authority. It could have been an abusive husband or a hateful boss who have twisted and distorted the truth of submission for their own personal pleasure and for their own purposes in life. And so that term submission, for many people, it has become a word that they just hate. And then that leads to the second word, which is rebellion. And the truth of the word rebellion is we are all natural born rebels. We are born as rebels. We have this built-in resistance to submission. Submission is hard for us. Submitting to God. Well, that's really easy, preacher, when things are going good. When things are good in my life and things are going my way and God is prospering me, it's pretty easy to submit. But when things get hard and when things get difficult and when things get tough, that's when we often see folks kind of backing away from this thing we called submission. And we begin to rebel and we begin to resist God and we begin to push away God's plan and God's authority in our life. And for that cause and for those reasons, submission has this terrible reputation these days. And it's even hard to get sincere folks to get to that point in their life where they just completely submit their whole life to God. It's just a very, very difficult thing. Even in our invitations at the churches today, it's just very, very difficult for people to decide in their hearts and minds, I'm going to submit to God's will. I'm going to give my life to His way. And so we kind of push away and we kind of rebel. But I do want you to know this morning that when properly viewed and when biblically understood and applied, submission can replace that rebellion with the joy of Jesus. True submission to God will bring the joy of Christ in our life. And I need to say this, submission is for every one of us. It's not for just a few in the church. It's for every one of us. In Romans chapter 13, Paul talking about submission, and Paul talking about submission even to the government. He said, let every person, not just a few, but let every person be in submission. And the English translation is most often to the governing authorities. If you go back and you look at the Greek, the actual Greek translation is to higher powers or to delegated influence. And so that's why you and I are to be in submission to our laws. That's why none of us ever speed, right? None of us in here ever break the speed limit, right? Because we are in submission. We are good, godly men and women in submission to the laws of man. Amen. Okay. And that's why we don't text when we drive. That's why we don't text when we drive. because it's against the law. And we are in submission to the law. We are to be obedient to our government. And again, Paul says in Romans chapter 13, there is no authority other than God. And what Paul is saying, and he goes on to say, everyone who rules, they've been given that power to rule by God. And whether they are good or bad, it all comes from God. It has been given, that power has been given by God. So when we are in disobedience to those laws and disobedience to that government, we really stand against God. Those God has appointed to us. And we are in jeopardy of punishment among ourselves. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned, and I'm not going to go into detail about it today, but there are times. There have been times in our country's history, there are times when civil disobedience is in order. But we must remember that when God places someone in power and He is the one that places them in power, then any direct opposition to them, unless they are absolutely in opposition themselves of God's word, we're not to do it. There is a time for righteous rebellion, but we must be careful. We must be willing to pay the consequences for our rebellion. But the point of our sermon today is that every single believer should practice the principle of submission. Let me say it to you this way. Submission is not just for children. Submission is for parents also. Submission is not just for church members. Submission is for the pastor also. Submission is not just for the wives. Submission is for the husbands also. Submission is not just for employees. Submission is for bosses also. As a matter of fact, Paul once again tells us that we are to be submitting to one another. We are to be submitting to one another. So I want to show you just a couple of things about submission today. We don't have time to learn it all, but I just want to show you a couple of things about submission today. And listen, if we really want to please God, if we really, really, really want to honor God, then submit. Submit. 1 Peter chapter 2. A couple of weeks ago, we read these verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13, it says this, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That is very honoring to Him when we submit to the laws that man has given to us here in our country. For the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as those who are sent by Him, sent by God, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to the silence of the ignorance of foolish men. Now, sometimes I'll sit in front of my TV and I'll go, they're so ignorant. Y'all ever do that? Here's what God is saying. God's saying that His way of putting a muzzle on those who are ignorant is for us to do right. And what He means by that is we are to do right by trusting God and by waiting on Him and by living by the Word And living our life in biblical submission to Him. That's how we put a muzzle on them. And then verse 16, he says, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people. I hope you're doing that this morning. I hope you're honoring one another. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are being beaten for your faults that you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. If you're a note taker, here's the thought that Paul is trying to give us this morning. Submission to situations in life is commendable. Submission to situations and circumstances in our life, that is very, very commendable. It's like this, God, I mean it, I promise you, you mean more to me than anything in life. And I'm ready, God, to follow you anywhere. I'm ready, God, to do anything you want me to do. Any of you willing to say that? God, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll do anything you want me to do. And God says, well, if that's true, the first order of business is to submit. The first order of business is to submit to authority. And you want to know, here's a good question for you this morning. If you want to know, am I really following God? Am I truly following Jesus? Here's how you'll know. Are you in submission to Him? Are you in complete submission to Him? And see, we are not only supposed to submit to the government and to the laws of the land. We are to submit to God, and we are to submit to the circumstances that God brings about or allows in our life. And I don't mind telling you, that's very difficult. That can be a very, very difficult thing, because certain circumstances and situations come in our life, and so very often I get so angry, you get so angry, you get so frustrated, you get even bitter at the circumstances of life. Sometimes you even get to the point where, I'll get them back. I'll pay them back. And instead, God's saying, I want you to submit to those circumstances. It's those things in life where we go, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why this is happening to me. Look, Lord, I serve you. I've left the world to follow you. I've given up worldly pleasures. I've fought down those fleshly appetites, and I try my best to serve you, God. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. And God says, though you may not understand, you submit anyway. You submit anyway. You have probably heard the story. It's Stephen Curtis Chapman, a Christian musician. I believe he's won 5 Grammy Awards, 58 Gospel Dove Awards, more than any other artist in history. Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife, they have 3 biological children. They go out and adopt 3 more children, 2 which are from China, I believe. And one of their adopted daughters, Maria Sue, one day the oldest teenager was coming home from an audition for a musical. He pulls in the driveway, and he doesn't see Maria Sue, and Maria Sue running out to greet him. gets in front of the car, and he accidentally runs over her. She dies. I don't understand. I don't understand that. A servant of God who's faithfully involved in and doing the things that God would have them to do. A family who's very generous and very God-honoring. And God takes their daughter. I don't understand that. And things like that happen in our life, and we're questioning God and maybe even questioning what we believe. And God's saying, I even want you to submit to that situation. I want you to submit and trust me that I'll carry you through. Can I say that many times in life things happen to you and things happen to me that I have absolutely no power of? And because I have no power of it, I'm not going to try to exercise power over it. Instead, God says, submit to the situation. Submit to the circumstance. So we have to ask ourselves, am I available for God's plan? No matter what it may be. Whatever God's got planned for me, am I available for that plan? Look with me real quickly, because our time's gone. I hate that, don't you? Hosea chapter 1. Go real quick. If you can't find it, it'll be up on the screen. I'm only going to read one verse to you today. It's Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord had come to Hosea, okay? Verse 2, it says, when the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go and take for yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So here's God. God has a prophet by the name of Hosea. And God goes to Hosea and says, Hosea, I got a plan for your life. This is my plan for your life. And Hosea, this plan that I have for your life, this is how I'm going to teach my nation, my people, how much I love them. So, Hosea, here's what I want you to do. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Well, Hosea, I want you to marry a prostitute. And her name's Gomer. Excuse me, God? Yeah, I want you to marry this prostitute by the name of Gomer, and in a few years she'll leave you, and you will have to go buy her back. You'll have to go buy her off the prostitution block and bring her back home and love on her some more, and she's gonna go again. And you'll have to go back after her. God, I didn't think you wanted your prophets to marry prostitutes. Would maybe it be okay if I had a different prophet job, maybe? Could I have like that prophet job where, you know, I'm walking with Elijah and the fiery flaming chariot comes by and with the fiery horses and the wind just whisked me away to heaven. Could I have like that prophet job? Well, Hosea, maybe you want the Jeremiah the prophet job. You know, where you get your underwear and you wear it for 10 days. And you don't take it off and you don't wash your underwear for 10 days. And then after 10 days, you take your underwear and you hide it under a rock. And then you let your underwear sit under a rock for about a month and a half. And then you go back and you get your underwear after it's musty and moldy and stained and stinking, and you put that underwear back on, and you go into Jerusalem, and you say to those folks in Jerusalem, "Hey, God says y'all are like my dirty underwear." You want that job, Hosea? You want the dirty underwear job? Well, I just never thought your plan for my life would be me marrying a prostitute. And you know what? You know what I've discovered about God as you read through His Word? Time and time and time again, He asked His prophets and He asked His people to do things that were kind of out of the ordinary and kind of uncomfortable so that He could speak to His people in a very dramatic way, and so that He could show His people how much He loved them. And then God comes and He asks us to do something for us that's out of the ordinary or a little bit uncomfortable, and we go, "No, thank you, God." And we rebel. And God asks us to do something, and we go, no. We don't even think about it. We don't even pray about it. No, I don't think I'm going to do that, God. What else you got that I can do, God? Well, how about the Jeremiah dirty underwear thing? You want to do that? And we laugh about that. We really ought to be crying. And how many times has God brought a situation or a circumstance in our life or asked us to do something, and we just refuse to submit? How many times has God brought us something in our life and we're just pushing back? I don't think I'm going to do it, God. I don't think I can do it. I don't believe I'm going to do this. How many times? What is God asking you to submit to? What is it that's in your life right now that you have no power over? You have absolutely no control over. And God's just saying, submit to it. Just submit to it. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm going to, for the sake of time, let's go to verse 21. Look at verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His footsteps." You may would like to understand that, underline that, "You should follow His steps." Follow His steps. You know what that means? That means follow Him in suffering. That means submit to suffering. How many of you have heard of the book Fox's Book of Martyrs? You heard of that? Quite a few years ago, DC Talk, in collaboration with Voice of Martyrs, they put out a book called Jesus Freak. Any of you heard that? It is much like Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's just more of the modern-day martyrs, and it just talks about these Christians who were willing to submit to God and suffer for God and even willing to lose their life for God. Just amazing. But for most Christian Americans, submitting to suffering, No. I'm not going to do that. As a matter of fact, if you'll listen very carefully, if y'all just turn on your TV, watch a few of those TV preachers. I'm not against TV preachers, But if you'll watch enough, you'll see that the doctrine of suffering is trying to be eliminated. It's just about gone. They teach that if you're suffering, you've done something wrong. And that's a false doctrine. As a matter of fact, God wants us to submit to the suffering. Here, the book of 1 Peter, the book of 2 Peter, it was written by Peter. Now, Peter, when Jesus first introduced suffering, do you remember that? You remember that situation? Here's Jesus. He is here on earth, and Peter's thinking he's building a kingdom. And Jesus starts talking about suffering, and Peter goes, whoa, 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 whoa. No suffering for you, Lord. No suffering for you. And do you remember how Jesus reacted to that? He looked at Peter and he said, no, Peter, you're wrong. That's the mind you have, that's the mind of man. That's not the Spirit of God. And Jesus was real firm with Peter. You remember what he said next? Get behind me, Satan. Because suffering is a real part of the Christian life. And Christ knew that to save my soul and to save your soul, he had to suffer. He had to suffer and die. And so now here's Peter, and he's writing, and he's come to understand that, and he said, you and me, we're to follow in Christ's footsteps. We are to suffer like Christ did. One time, Paul was dealing with some very difficult people at the church of Corinth, and praise God, y'all aren't like that. Good deal. He was dealing with these people at Corinth, and they kind of, and you know how we are as people, and I've done this, and I'm sure you have too. Maybe you haven't, but they were complaining about all the suffering that they were having to face, and it's almost like Paul's just, you know, I've just had it up to here with these folks, and he even says, you go back and read this later. Because Paul didn't want to get on them, and he didn't want to fuss at them, and he says, I'm talking like a madman. I'm talking like a madman, but you guys don't know what suffering's like. And then he began to list his suffering. He said, I've been in jail more than any of you. I've been in jail more than any of you. I've been beaten with whips more than any of you have been beaten with whips. I've been in danger of death far more often than any of you. 5 times the Jews beat me with 39 lashes. 40 means death. 39 lashes with a whip. 3 times the Romans beat me with this big stick. My enemies have stoned me. I have been shipwrecked 3 times. I even had to spend a whole night and day floating out in the ocean. I've been with people who have pretended to be Lord's followers. I have struggled and had many sleepless nights because I was hungry and thirsty and I had nothing to eat or drink. I've suffered from being cold because I didn't have enough clothes to keep me warm. And besides all that, I'm burdened down with worry over all the churches. And Paul says, it's wearing me out. It's wearing me out. It's killing my body. Hey, folks, how much time have you spent in prison for Jesus? How many times have you been beaten to the point of death because of your stand for Jesus? Now, I'm going to be transparent as I can be for you. There are times in my life that I think I've suffered a lot for the Lord. There was a period in my life where I thought, this has gone on too long, God. I have suffered so much. I've suffered, and it's been so hard, God. But then I read a list like Paul's, and he's not a madman. I don't know what suffering is like. My perspective on suffering is all wrong. It is all wrong. And my new perspective on suffering should be what he's asking us to do. And that's to submit to suffering. How many of you know what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says? It says, all who desire to live godly in Christ. Y'all know the verse now? All who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. So here's a question this morning. How many of you, and you just be honest, in your heart, how many of you really, really, really want to live a godly life? How many? That's most of us. So are you willing to submit to suffering? Because that's the road that Jesus says we have to take. Here's what he means. For us to live a godly life, we have to become more holy. We have to be purified. Many years ago, I worked at a company in Charlotte, and we made valves for the nuclear ship for the U.S. Navy. And we would get in these big bars of aluminum, and this aluminum would have to be purified before we could use it. It naturally, when it came in, it was just dirt. And you know how we purified that aluminum? We stuck it in a big vat, and we heated that aluminum up until it melted. Until it started boiling. You could just see the aluminum, and it would just pop and splatter, and it just go everywhere. But while it was boiling, all the dirt would come from the top. And a guy, and I've actually done this, with a pole that was about 8 to 10 foot long, we would take it and scoop that dirt out of it. Do you know that for God to purify you and purify me and make us holy, he's going to have to turn the heat on. And so he says, submit to suffering. How many of you want to live a godly life? That means you have to submit to the suffering. I wonder sometimes, at least here in America, why we're not seeing more suffering Christians. Are we serious about living a holy life? You know, probably if I ask this question, do you want to go to heaven? I think all of you are going to say yes. And in heaven, it's going to be the most holy place ever. And don't you think that before we get there, God's going to be working on our holiness? I mean, We don't want to be in complete culture shock when we get there, right? So all throughout our life, God's working on our holiness. And that is going to mean suffering. that's going to mean that we're going to have to suffer. Are you willing to submit? Would you stand with me this morning? If you really want to live a godly life, that means you probably ought to really draw close to God. Because when He turns the heat up, you're going to really need Him. And one of the purposes for turning the heat up is so you will turn to Him and trust in Him to see you through. And so I invite you this morning, I invite you to maybe come and do like I'm doing in my life. And that's just simply asking God, give me a new perspective on suffering. I know. I'm not going to understand everything that happens in life. I'm not going to understand why so-and-so has to go through this. And I'm not going to understand why so-and-so had to die. But God, help me trust You. Help me just trust You. Help me submit to suffering. Help me submit to the circumstances that I'm faced with. You guys come as they sing.
I'd rather have Jesus than I.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know what I always want to be an honest preacher. And you probably want that too, right? Y'all want me to be honest? Many times in life, I've failed when it comes to suffering. I've failed to submit. You know what's great about God? You get another chance. You get another chance. You get another chance. Larry, you got anything? Folks, why don't you join hands? And let's sing our way out.